Stephen Higgins from crosscourtview.com joins us to chat US Open. And Stephen, I suppose there's only one place to begin, and that is on Nick Kyrgios. Our listeners at the start of the show may have heard a Nick Kyrgios clip that we played. But Stephen, I want to play it again because for once there's a bit of emotion and a bit of, I suppose he seems a bit genuine in his words after his defeat. So I just want to play the clip and get your reaction.
I feel like I've let so many people down. These four tournaments are the only ones that are ever going to matter. And it's just like you got to start it all again. And I have to wait till Australian Open. It's just devastating. Like, it's heartbreaking. Not just for me, just for everyone that I know that wants me to win.
So, Stephen, probably his best Grand Slam opportunity gone.
Yeah, at this stage, it kind of looks that way. Obviously, Kyrgios made the final of Wimbledon, but he was playing Novak Djokovic in the final, and you try to beat Novak Djokovic in the final of Wimbledon. Ask Roger Federer how easy that is. So this was the opportunity where I believe it's about 20 years since we've had quarterfinals in the major without Djokovic, Nadal, Federer or Serena Williams. This is the big opportunity for both draws. Kyrgios is one of the favourites coming in, probably coming in in incredible form, obviously, off the back of Wimbledon. He did the hardest bit early by knocking out the defending champion Daniil Medvedev in the fourth round. Would have obviously thought he had this incredible chance to go all the way to the title. He spoke at times in his press conferences about, I have like two or three matches left and then I'm done with tennis. So he obviously was putting a lot of pressure on himself. But he came up against an unheralded but very impressive Karen Khachanov, who, you know, is a really strong player. He's been knocking around a few years. He went a bit off form, but he's a former quarterfinalist in multiple majors. And he just had too much for him in this big pressure moment.
So Khachanov will now play, after disposing of Kyrgios, Norway's Casper Ruud, who is world number 7 at the moment. However, victory in that semi-final could see him rise all the way to world number 1.
Yeah, there was this interesting situation going into the championships where Daniil Medvedev, Carlos Alcaraz, Rafael Nadal and Casper Ruud could all, depending on the circumstances, become world number 1 by the end. Of course, Novak Djokovic's season has been slightly derailed by certain events you may have heard of. So the four guys were gunning for this. Ruud is the one who survived along with Alcaraz. If he can win the title on Sunday, he will become the world number 1, which, you know, obviously having a Grand Slam would justify that more. Ruud is a super player, kind of known for his brilliant athleticism, amazing forehand. He's made his name a bit like the Dominic Thiem route, where he's cleaned up by clay court titles, smaller ones like Kitzbühel and Gustad. But he made the final of the French Open, of course, got the Nadal experience there. But he's pushed on and he's a super player, and that should be a really good match. I'd probably go maybe with Ruud to make the final there.
That is one semi-final, but of course you have two quarterfinals still to play. Yannick Sinner versus Carlos Alcaraz, and Rublev plays Tiafoe, who of course did beat Nadal.
Yeah, it's an incredible match where Tiafoe just took advantage of, obviously he's a home favourite, he's a really energetic player, really gets the crowd riled up. And then there's no doubt about it, this was a subpar Rafael Nadal. This was not Roland Garros Rafa or Melbourne Rafa even. Often in his career, if you look back, he's kind of petered out a bit towards the end of the season. That's why he's never won the ATP finals, as opposed to Federer and Djokovic, who've won it multiple times. In fairness to him, he was coming off an abdominal injury that he got at Wimbledon, so people weren't exactly sure how he was getting on. But all credit to Tiafoe, who played a brilliant match. Like, you have to beat the guys. If you get your opportunity where you're playing Rafael Nadal at 70%, 80%, you still have to take it, and he did. And then we get a repeat of actually last year's match between Rublev. And then in the other quarterfinal, which is just fantastic, you'll have Yannick Sinner, who people may remember from Wimbledon, was two sets up against Djokovic and let that go. And then the most exciting player on the men's tour at the moment, Carlos Alcaraz.
You love Carlos Alcaraz, Stephen. We've had many conversations about how much you love Carlos Alcaraz.
Pick him up on the pronunciation. Now, he gave us a lesson earlier on in Club Brugge.
Brugge. Carlos Alcaraz.
I'm just trying to be cool. That's what all the Spaniards call him.
Alcaraz. Club Brugge and Alcaraz. So, listen. My question, sorry, I'm getting carried away with pronunciations and my elocution lessons from Ruby Walsh all evening. But my question was, out of all four of those players, who do you fancy? You're back in Rudd to get to the final. But out of those four, who might make their way? I know we have a semi-final to get through as well, so it's looking quite a bit ahead.
Sinner has already beaten Alcaraz twice this year, so he kind of seems to have a bit of a thing of over the Spaniard. I think Rublev will probably be a bit too solid and explosive for Tiafoe. And just to change, yeah, I think maybe Alcaraz will figure something out against Sinner. So maybe we'll have Alcaraz against Rublev in the other semi.
And then a battle for the world number one in the final. Rude.
Yeah, which would be nice and tasty to follow.
That would be a good final. The women's side of the draw, of course, everyone started with 128. They're down to the same six, a semi-final and two quarters left to play. But Caroline Garcia is through versus Ons Jabeur.
Yeah, this is fantastic. It's three of the best players all season are still left. So you've kind of got the inversion of the men's, where usually you'd have this lots of surprise in the women's tour, and then the usual Novak, Rafa, you know, Medvedev left. But actually you have Ons Jabeur, who's second in the race this year behind Iga Świątek, who's still involved. She was a Wimbledon finalist, of course. She's playing extremely well. She's won two titles already this year. And then she's playing Caroline Garcia, who was reborn under a new coach. Garcia was tipped to be world number one when she was 17, when Andy Murray watched her play Sharapova at the French and tweeted, "Oh, this girl's going to go straight to number one." Did her no favours in terms of pressure, although she did get to world number one in doubles. But she's been superb of late. She won two titles already coming into the US Open. It's probably the best we've seen her. That should be a great match. And then with the other quarters remaining, you have obviously Świątek, who's kind of found a bit more of the form that she had earlier in the year, against Jessie Pegula, who is a really solid American. They've had close matches before, but Świątek usually wins them, and I say she'll do that again. And in the other match, Aryna Sabalenka, who's had a really difficult year, looked to be just on the verge of beating Karolina Pliskova.
You mentioned Jessie Pegula being hometown favourite there, obviously American, and Francois Tiafoe in the men's side of the draw as well. Obviously Coco Gauff is gone, and Serena had said her goodbye a bit earlier as well. How much home advantage kind of question as well. Also, that Francis Tiafoe backstory of his two parents coming from Sierra Leone during the war there, and then relocating over to Maryland, and now him going on and seeing his family there beating Nadal, etc., is absolutely brilliant. But how much will that home crowd, I suppose, partisan crowd behind them work in their favour?
I'm sure it'll be straight down the line with a Russian playing an American.
What could possibly go wrong?
This will be extraordinarily partisan. It's actually a really big test because Rublev, an explosive player, and can also have an explosive temper, which he's had to control. He was a junior number one, and for a good few years in the tour, he didn't really transition that well into seniors. He's been excellent the last few years. But Tiafoe, yeah, I mean, he is absolutely made for the New York energy, feeds off all the crowd. He played an extraordinary level against Nadal, in fairness. So that could be really tight. I'm just going with Rublev based on he's looked really good so far, and maybe just the achievement of beating Nadal and the situation, which Tiafoe has never been in before, might get to him a bit. But no, I wouldn't be surprised if he can just feast off that. Maybe Rublev gets a bit perturbed, throws the odd racket, and then, yeah, sure, we could see Francis Tiafoe into his first final, and then sure, who knows what will happen. We don't have the usual guys as barometers. They don't have to beat Djokovic or Nadal or Medvedev or Federer or Murray in the final. They're just playing themselves.
Tiafoe's backstory is one thing. Jessie Pegula's is the complete opposite. Couldn't be any further away. I mean, she's a daughter of Terry and Kim Pegula. They're billionaires. But she just has proved that you have to work as hard, whether you're rich or poor, to make it in tennis.
This is the thing, and you'll often hear the refrain of players, understandably, that funding is the biggest issue. The biggest obstacle to someone becoming a professional player is getting enough funding. Clearly, that's not an issue for the daughter of billionaires. But she has still batted off those questions about it. It doesn't really matter how much money you get in terms of, are you going to be good enough to be a top 10 player? Of course, it can help for paying for coaching and physio and traveling around. But are you good enough talent-wise and application and dedication to make it? And she is. She's a brilliant player. Very consistent, the quarterfinalists in Melbourne and Roland Garros. I wouldn't be surprised if she beats Świątek, if Świątek's a bit off. The only thing is they've played twice this year, and Świątek's level clearly is higher at her best than Pegula. But that could be very tight. Three sets could go either way.
Well, plenty of exciting tennis to come. Stephen Higgins from crosscourtview.com. Thank you very much.